Hey Robert, it's Michael Waits. How are you?
I'm good, yourself?
I am super. What's that picture in the background on your Skype?
That's a temple in China, in Beijing. I think it's for the Forbidden Temple, Forbidden City. Yeah, I actually just got back from Beijing
Did you really? What were you doing in
week.
Beijing?
I was on holidays with my parents.
Sweet. What's the weather like there now? It's the beginning of April. Is it still chilly?
It was quite cold compared to Australia. It was a probably got in like averaging between 10 degrees Celsius and 20.
That's a big average. And what is it? It's summertime in Sydney, right?
Ironically, I'm not actually in Sydney. I'm in Singapore. My parents live in Singapore, so I'm actually with them, staying with them for a while.
Well,
But
it's always
it's
summer in Singapore, so
exactly. So yeah, so it was still a shock going to Beijing,
I'm
but
sure.
yeah.
So when you're not in school, are you generally in Singapore?
No, actually, so I'm currently studying online. So I was in Sydney for the beginning, first year and a half of my degree, and then my parents moved up at the start of my degree to Singapore. Long story, I actually lived here. I lived in Singapore when I was younger, and I've
Okay.
always wanted to come back.
Okay.
And I've worked around things, and everything kind of aligned itself perfectly, where I've been able to come up for about a year and study online and stay in here and travel and stuff.
Nice. So did you go to high school in Singapore as well?
No, I went to high school in Australia, but I did go to primary school in Singapore. And so I was in Singapore from fifth grade until the end of seventh grade.
Okay, so not for that long, but long enough, right?
Yeah, exactly. It imprinted on me quite significantly.
Yeah, between five and between fifth grade and seventh grade, I'm sure I can. What's that, like 10 to 12? Yeah. Interesting, interesting. So, but you actually did attend school in Sydney, right, for a while?
For about 18 months.
Okay, a year and a half. That's good enough. I mean, half of a full term at school, I guess, right?
It was good. My brother studied online as well, and I've always thought of it as an alternative so that I could do other things while I study, but doing it on campus was definitely important to get into the mood of studying again, because I took a year off after high school to work, and then I went back to university.
Even better. So, what did you do the year that you were working?
I worked two main jobs. One, I worked in like a clothing store, just as a customer service, and then the second job I worked at a cars auto parts shop. In Australia, it's called Repco, so it's a national brand. There, I was customer service. I did inventory. I did a bit of everything really, but that was full time. So yeah.
And was that your idea, your parents' idea, or just like how did that happen?
So when I finished high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I studied maths, physics, chemistry, a bit of information technology. Like I did arithmetic and stuff like that. I didn't do so much of like, business and stuff. So when I had a job since I was 16, and after high school, didn't know what I wanted to do. I was thinking about studying gaming. I was thinking about doing a bunch of different things. And ironically, I never thought about business. And then I worked. So I had that part-time job at the clothing store. And then through a friend, I got a part-time job at Repco. Then that transitioned into a full-time job. Through that, I kind of started to develop a love for business, kind of. I realized that I had certain skills that allowed me to understand it in different ways to other people. So yeah,
So tell
that's
me,
where
so you've used this word a couple of times, business. It's a very general term, but it means something to you, sounds like specifically, right? Can you tell me a little bit more about what that means? Because you said you didn't think about going into business. Does that mean going to work for a corporation? What business is a wide term. What does it mean to you?
I from the beginning, I knew like business is, again, as you said, it's a very broad term, and that's what I thought it was. I before I started working full time, I thought it was just you were a salesperson. That's all I thought,
Got
really.
it.
I knew there was other things, but I just thought that that's where it went. But then after working and understanding these different integral parts that make up the majority, I realized that I can apply my arithmetic skill set into accounting. That's what I'm studying. What I've learned after I've been studying business, I've realized is business, although it is very broad and there's lots of different parts, you actually still need to be able to touch base with all those. Like you can't, to be that successful, really, you can't just sit there and be an accountant your whole life or a marketing person. Like, you can't be a marketer your whole life, or you can't just work in sales. You have to branch out and learn new skill sets so that you can become the best business mindseted person and become a professional rather than just staying on one career path.
Yeah, so, rather than just doing a task your whole life, right? So I think you're just making a differentiation between going to some job and doing some task and actually running a business or understanding how a business works. And that's kind of what I wanted to get from you. So fair enough and well said, actually, on your part. So is your family in business? Like you said your mom and dad live in Singapore. So do they run their own business? Are they working?
So my dad works for UPS. Super. He works in brokerage. That's what he's done his whole life. He started off as a broker and then worked his way up and moved to Singapore and things like that. My mom is actually an author. Because my dad had to work so much and travel when we were younger, my mom had part-time jobs, but she mainly took on the role of being at home, making sure that we're going to school and whatever.
Taking care of you wise guys, yeah?
Yeah, and like my dad was still there, like,
it's just hard work, though.
He had to sacrifice a lot, and so did my mom. Yeah. So when we moved up to Singapore, it became a bit easier, and my mom started her passion, and she developed.
Passion for writing, awesome.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Also really hard work, by the way.
Yeah, I see how many hours she puts in. It's like.
So first she has to put up with you and however many insane siblings you have, and then she goes into writing, so
yeah.
It's all hard work for her.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, be good to your mom, yeah?
I try.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So you also you participated in this Next Step thing, right? But tell me, did you do that when you were studying remotely or did you do that when you were on campus?
So I timed it perfectly where it was an interval. So I finished my semester, my spring semester, mm-hmm. at the end of 2017.
Okay.
And then in January, we went up to Singapore for the 2 weeks of the study tour.
Oh.
So I didn't actually do an internship. I was able to go to a couple of different businesses.
Oh, right.
So during that, I also completed one of my units that contributes to my degree as well.
For you, the program was a little bit different, right? Because you'd lived in Singapore before you went there. So for you, it was kind of like going home in a way, no?
Yeah, exactly. So for me, because I lived overseas younger, when I was younger, and I had this already developed sense of cultural understanding and what it takes to live in a different country. For me, this was more about getting down to the nit and grit of what's going on in Singapore. It wasn't like, don't get me wrong, I was totally gobsmacked by the amount of sophistication and the ecosystem that exists in Singapore, but I was there to get answers and that's what I wanted to do. And I got what I wanted, really.
Right. I mean, I want to dig deeper into this because there's a lot to unpack there. But for you, the sort of cultural benefit of being there was minimized, but you'd never really seen this part of Singapore, right? The real business part of Singapore. Can you tell me a little bit about the companies that you saw and how that maybe changed your perception of Singapore?
Yeah. So being an accounting student, I always knew that Singapore was heavily involved in the finance sector. And looking back at it historically, that's what the actual government aimed for. But coming to Singapore, I realized that it's not. I had this imprint of on myself that it was all fintech. That's what everyone was doing. But I realized that it's not at all. That everyone's moving into a different area, industry, and it's quite diverse. I also realized that everyone that we spoke to and everyone that we met really had a passion and a love for what they're doing. Where it be, you know, the small small startups that we visited in multiple stages of the startup process or, you know, the MasterCard or the multinational companies, everyone that we spoke to was super passionate and just loved what they were doing and wanted to take what they were doing further. They weren't just completing a task. They were 100% involved in what they were doing. And it inspired me a lot and it made me realize that there's a lot of opportunity in the world and you don't necessarily have to decide when you're 18 or 21 what you want to do for the rest of your life. It really opened my mind to what has to offer.
There's nothing I love hearing more when a student says to me, I don't have to decide when I'm 19 years old what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, because it's such a bad sort of societal impact to have to make a decision when you're 19 to try to figure out what you're going to be doing when you're 39 or 59. There's no way you can know. And if somebody tells you that you can, they're just misleading you. Can you tell me maybe about one or two of the startups that you saw and just what did it mean to you?
Yeah. So one of them that we saw, HiveUp, it was on one of the first days that we were there. We actually just had been to MasterCard. So that was total two extremes. But they, you know, they had a team of about six people. The CEO, she was
Chu Ying. She worked. She's amazing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she she went from this, you know, very comfortable, stable job to realize that she had a different passion and she wanted to do something else. She wanted to give back, which I've realized is very like a pure entrepreneurial trait. I've started to notice. She went and did a penny stocks online trade company that she, you know, and that went well. She said, you know, she enjoyed it, but there was no long term with it. It had a very fundamental issue that she didn't realize until it was too late, which she said that was good and bad, because now with Hive Up, she's able to anticipate these things and understand what issues might arise, or, you know, these fundamental issues in some startups that can cause it to collapse. And she just had such an awesome attitude towards everything. Every question that we asked, the answer that she gave, she was just full on invested. And you know, she didn't over explain things, but she also gave us a lot of information that we wouldn't get from some people that were might be a bit more guarded with the information they have. She was very open and totally like on board with all of our questions. It was really awesome.
Yeah, Chuyen is just superb. She's just superb. Yeah. She and I do a weekly podcast, and I enjoy talking to her every time we speak. So I think she's amazing. Can you categorize the difference from your perspective between, you said MasterCard, right, was what you'd visited before you visited Hive Up? It's actually the perfect dichotomy. Just can you tell me what you noticed that was different, besides the fact that one was just a gigantic company that's been around for 50 years and one was brand new that just had 6 people in it? What was the main difference?
I think the main difference was their approach to their survival. So MasterCard was very much so about trying to adapt to these new technology and understand what will work and what won't. And whereas with Hive Up, it was more about, we see an issue in the, well, not an issue, but we see a need or a want in the environment and we want to satisfy it. So it was very much so of the fundamental of why you start a business. Again, it's a startup. That's why it would be a startup. But but that, like, that's the main difference. It seems as though once a business matures into a corporation, even a multinational corporation, they're more preserved on surviving, on like almost repelling things that could see it be destroyed, right? Whereas with the startups, it's more about taking advantage of cracks and crevices in the walls and you know, trying to fit in to a massive environment, but also take advantage of that ability, because, you know, MasterCard can't drop everything and jump to one product or whatever. They can't do that because they have so many other responsibilities as that company. Whereas Hive Up, well, what I've gathered from, you know, speaking with Kuyen and researching Hive Up a little bit, they can kind of do what they want to do. They don't necessarily have to worry about if it fails. Like they can plan a bit easier. They're more fluid.
Right. So now that you've, it's great insight actually, right? But now that you've been through the trip and you've seen the differences between startup companies and big companies, does it change your perception maybe of what you want to do when you're finished studying?
It's difficult to answer that, because there's actually, in my mind, I can see two paths, which both can be as beneficial as each other. I think immediately after, or even during my final year at university, internships with smaller startups and even medium-sized businesses will provide me with a lot of information and skills that will help me early term. Because if I go into a corporation, I know that, you know, the whole stigma of you'll be going to get the boss's coffee or whatever, that doesn't exist, you know, but it's still as you're not going to get as much information because they're so busy. I'm not saying that people running startups aren't. I'm saying because they have, you know, they're in meetings, corporations, you know, that's pretty much what they do at a managerial level. And they aren't allowed to give you as much information because they just don't have time. Yeah. Whereas with the startups, they're a lot more fluid and they can kind of, they just say, come with me for the day. Let's just go jump around. One of the people that two of the students were actually interning at, who runs Panalay. He doesn't actually have a necessary office. Like, he doesn't have a one location. Because of the way his startup is modeled, it allows him to be just everywhere. The two interns were like, it's awesome because we get to go out and meet more people, which was interesting because from the study tour point of view, I actually found that was more beneficial than an internship. So yeah, going back, what might impact my decisions, I think it all depends on what kind of opportunity I'm given.
Interesting. So, that's really interesting. Can I ask you this too? You said before we really started diving into the this tour, you said you went there, there was something specific that you wanted to get out of it, and you did get that. What was that thing?
Information. I wanted to know what it takes, what guts and what heartache it takes to get through running a startup. In Australia, we don't necessarily have at least in Western Sydney, we don't have a thriving ecosystem. It's very much so a newborn ecosystem. And you can't really experience what it's like for, especially in the tech industry, what these entrepreneurs are going through. And when we spoke to them, they were in Singapore, they were very open and they gave us a lot of information about what they did wrong, what they learned, but also what they did right. And which I found very, very surprising. A lot of the information I found that they gave us, I was surprised by how open they were. Like it was a very big eye opener. And the information that I was given really answered the questions that were eating away at my brain.
I wonder why you were surprised by the openness of the entrepreneurs. In other words, had you ever worked at a big company before for the summer on an internship or something like that, where you'd worked with, you know, relatively senior people and they just wouldn't answer your question, or they wouldn't answer your question in a way that you felt like they were open? Or was it just a perception that you had that was kind of shattered by the fact that the entrepreneurs, if you ask them, like, you know, how much money are you making doing this, or whatever the question was, that they would just answer it openly?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. So when I was working at Repco, I was given a very negative opinion on the hierarchy in business. There was a lot of, mind you, I wasn't in a position of management, but I was also brought to meetings, weekly meetings and things like that. My store manager wanted me to come, and I experienced just a lot of, it wasn't alienization, but it was kind of like I felt like the little kid in the room. And you know, there was that certain level of intimidation by those people, which I think it goes back to the fundamental, like a human trait of, this person's in a higher position, I kind of fear them. But you know, that's the kind of idea that I kind of derived in my own thought about people in higher position, in managerial position. When speaking with entrepreneurs, I never actually was able to speak with them in Sydney. There was not really much access to entrepreneurs. So I kind of just applied that mentality of, this person won't necessarily give me the information that I want in the clarity that I need. When we came here, it was just kind of, I'll be honest, it was a little bit overwhelming, but in a good way.
Really interesting. So tell me again, where did you say your dad works?
So he works for UPS in a brokerage.
Got it. So do you ever, when you were done doing this study tour, right, which wasn't much of a, I mean, it was a tour, but you lived there, right? But did you talk to your dad? And did he give you any feedback on the differences between what it's like working at sort of a bigger company and your experience with the openness of the smaller companies in the startup?
Yes and no. The old style of, you know, you're like the hierarchy of a business and, you know, he's your boss, so he has positional power over you. I think that's deteriorating a bit in modern day business. So I think that when I spoke to my dad about it, he was like, he agreed with me, like not in a sense of like he agreed that there was that level of threat or whatever. He agreed that they are open now, and people that are coming into positions that are more open and more willing to bring up a team thrive a lot better, and they stay in the business a lot longer. So it's quite interesting. Even when, because my brother as well, he's 7 years older than myself.
Got it.
And he works in supply chain for a consulting company. He as well provided me with a lot of information about what's going on in the business world. And you know, he worked for a multinational company as well. And he didn't necessarily like it. Like, he enjoyed it, but there was things that he could see that where there was more potential, and you know.
I understand. So now that you've been through the program, now that you've experienced the differences between big companies and small companies, and now frankly that you've just been exposed to business in a way maybe that you hadn't been before, if your friends, or not your colleagues, right, but your peers say to you, particularly ones that are still in Sydney, right, do I go on this study tour? Do I do that 2-week trip? Would you recommend that they do that? I mean, you were in a unique situation, right? Because it's kind of your hometown. What would you say for somebody who'd never done that before?
Oh, I recommend it 1,000%. My roommate on the trip, Blake, he hadn't been overseas properly. He had been on cruises and stuff, but he'd never been in another environment. And I think me being there helped him a bit as well. But he was like, he was in love with it, and he loved the trip, and he loved everything that he had, like he gathered from it. And I think seeing that, I realized that, you know, as you said, it's like a hometown. You know, I felt like I was coming home. But I think that any experience that you can get in an uneasy environment, in a, you know, you're not used to it,
right,
is 1,000 times better than, you know, your local shop. It's being chucked in the deep water, yes, can be overwhelming, but speaking with people and having people around, that's why the study tour was so good, because a lot of people were able to talk about the issues that they were having and people could agree, and then, you know, it built up relationships within the actual group itself. So I would 100% recommend it to anyone, just because it's something that you will always remember, no matter where you are in life, because it's just so eye-opening and so awesome.
Okay, that's awesome. Look, I really appreciate your time tonight. This has been a really fascinating conversation for me, and your insights have actually been great and really interesting. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, man.
Awesome. Thank you.